For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bible, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Good Sunday after Easter crowd. Amen. Good. Glad you decided to come back and be with us and be right here in the services there. And you know what? I'm still rejoicing about the resurrection from last Sunday. And if the Lord lets me live, I'm going to rejoice about the resurrection next Sunday. And if I get back tonight, I'm going to rejoice about the resurrection tonight. Amen. Amen. And Monday. And all points in between. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And thank you for praying for me this past week as I was preaching over in Roan County, over in southern Roan County at Newton at Cornerstone Independent Baptist Church. We had a great time. Had a good meeting. It was a good meeting. And the Lord blessed in a special way there with Pastor Roy Huffman. If you live in that area, if you're watching today and you live in that area, I'd recommend, if you're looking for a church, that's a good area, a good church to go to. And they're doing a good work for God over there. And I think about how God used that church in Justin Cooper's life. Where's Sandy in Justin's life? Really, God really used that church in a great way to get him saved and to call him to preach and to launch his ministry for the Lord. God's doing a work everywhere. Everywhere someone will allow him to do the work. Amen. And looking for something to look through here. Amen. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's chapter 14. And ladies, I hope you'll come on that Sunday evening. I'm excited about having Debbie here, and I've asked her to speak to the ladies about how to get your joy back after your heart's been broken. And she has been through quite a grieving time in her life and just has the joy of the Lord all over her. And I think she'll share something that will help you now, or it'll help you later, or it'll help you now to help someone later, or it'll help you now to help someone now. It'll help you. Don't ask me to repeat that, but it'll help you. And just to entice you a little bit, we're going to try to have some light refreshments. I'm not sure what that would be under the subject of light refreshments, but there'll be something to eat, and it'll be great. That's on the 23rd, Sunday evening, 5:30. And we love the Deems and thank God for Paul's ministry. And they're an example of what I'm going to preach about today. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, the Lord Jesus, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, very costly, very expensive. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now, other accounts and other gospels have mentioned his feet. I don't have any problem with it being on his feet and his head. In fact, I think maybe it was on his head and dripped to his feet. And there were some, in verse 4, that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? This fragrant oil, this costly oil, why was this waste? And it might have been sold," it says in verse 5, "for more than 300 pence. I mean, probably would have paid a rural worker a whole year salary. "And have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. There's always somebody that's going to be murmuring. Just accept that. Don't you be the murmurer. Amen. Whoever introduced Autumn Olive to the state of West Virginia should be shot. Amen. I love the smell of it and other things, but But it said, they murmured against her. In verse 6, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. A good work. Now, sometimes our definition of good work, you know, it varies. But Jesus said this was a good work. In fact, it says, for ye have the poor with you always. That's so true, verse 7. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me, ye have not always. And look at verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And that's true. Here we are, all these years later, and we're still speaking of that. I want to speak from verse 8 where the Bible says, she hath done what she could. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to do that very thing. In Jesus' name, help me to make the message plain and simple and clear, and Spirit of God, use it however you'd like to use it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love Mary in the Bible, don't you? There are many Marys in the Bible, but I have a great amount of respect for Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary had a tender heart. In fact, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 and following, verse 42, it says, Mary hath chosen that good thing. When we see Mary in the Bible, she's choosing the good thing. For her, that good thing was at the feet of Jesus. We find her at the feet of Jesus. Martha, the Bible says, was cumbered about much serving, and she was jealous of Mary, who got to sit at Jesus' feet. The Clark family wrote a song, I Want to Be Mary for a While. You ever heard that song? It's a good song. I want to be Mary for a while. In other words, I want to sit at Jesus' feet for a while. And we all need that. You know, Baptists are all about motion and commotion, and we need a little more emotion too, but we need unction, you know. But we're all about motion and everything, but we need to, before we get into the Martha category, we need to sit down like Mary did at Jesus' feet. We all need that time. We all need that those moments at the feet of Jesus. And that's where we find Mary normally in the Bible. I mean, I'm sure there were times she was in the kitchen. I'm sure there were times that she was rousting up things. And I'm sure there were times that she was carrying and serving and all of that. No doubt about that. But here we see her at the feet of Jesus. She's at the feet of Jesus. And she takes this alabaster box of ointment, very costly, and breaks it. Tom Sexton used to preach a message. He preached it here on pour it on Jesus. And she poured it on Jesus as an offering. She had great perception in her life. She was a godly woman. And it says she anointed his body aforetime to his burial. I mean, she had wonderful spiritual perception. And of course, they all piled on. Well, we could have taken that and sold it and helped the poor. Yeah, but it was a wonderful offering to Jesus. And he said this. He said, forever, from now on, this will be remembered as a memorial to her. And we are remembering that today. Just like we remember the widow. She didn't have an alabaster box of ointment. She had two mites. We'd call it in West Virginia, she had barely two nickels to rub together. And she gave it to Jesus. She did what she could. And I love Mary in the Bible. I just love her heart, don't you? Love her heart. And the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. And I believe that's exactly what Mary's doing here. And as I look at this, I think of this matter of judgment. One day, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. The unsaved dead will stand at the great white throne judgment, be judged for their sin, we'll be judged for our service. And if our motives and if our service has been what it ought to be, like Mary, it'll go through the furnace of fire. If we built not on wood, hay, and stubble that'll be burned up, but if we build on gold, silver, and precious stones, we'll hear him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whatever crowns we receive, we'll cast them right back at his feet. He's worthy. And we see here the standard, I think, of God's judgment upon us. What's the standard? Well, we did what we could. You know what? What you can do and what I can do and what, the person in the pew ahead of you or beside you or behind you are all different. God wants you to do what you can do. Mary did what she could. The widow gave her two mites. The little boy gave his five loaves and two fishes. Andrew, we see him bringing people to Jesus. We read of him three times in the Bible, and every time he's bringing someone to Christ. He's over here talking to the Greeks, and they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And Andrew said, "I'll tell you about him." He brings a little boy. But in the midst of all that, he brought Simon Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And Simon Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved and baptized. I believe more than that. You say, "I'm not a Simon Peter," but you be the best version of you that you can be with God's help. Let God fill you with His Spirit. Let God flame you with His power. Let God stir you to do something for Him. Spring forward. Spring forward. I look in chapter 14, and the scripture says there, this alabaster box of ointment, very precious. She broke the box and poured, it may have been part of the family retirement plan. I don't know. But she gave it to him. She gave it to him. What do you have to give to him? You say, I don't have much. And if we're not saved, all we have is our sin. And God's happy to take that away from us. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She's wrought a good work on me." But in verse 8, "She hath done what she could." I like to read it that way. She's done what she could. Not what I could. Not what you could. She's done what she could. In other words, it was between her and God. It's between her and God. You say, "Preacher, as far as giving, I've just never been able to trust God with a tithe." Well, give God something. Give God something until you can trust Him with the tithe. You say, "Preacher, I have trouble reading three chapters a day." Then read three verses a day. Amen. You say, I have trouble making it back to church on Sunday night." Then maybe come for Sunday school. Grease the wheels a little bit. These girls like that right there. I know you want to say amen, but you didn't. Do what you can. I found that we'll do what we want to do. Truth be known. We'll do what we want to do. And God will help you to do what He wants you to do. "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing." She was a wise, wise lady. I want you to notice, first of all, she did what she could. She did what she could. I don't think it's a matter of the volume of how much we do for God. We're prone to think that way. Preachers think that way. Preachers would rather preach to a full building than an empty building, especially after COVID. I had cutouts of Tim Holmes back there during COVID. And I didn't really. I'd much rather preach to live people in pews and fellowship with people. The church was meant to assemble. And here we are. Amen. 3 years later. And God's helped us with that. But she's done what she could. She came aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. You think about what she's saying there. It's not so much the volume, it's the victory that you have in your heart. The victory that you have in your heart. I remember a little bus kid over in Spencer one year. We were going to have a big egg hunt, and he wanted to get involved in it, and he saved his money and went over to G.C. Murphy's and bought a dozen of those plastic eggs and brought them in and plopped them in on my desk. And I thought about, man, that's God's honored by that. He did what he could. Why don't you do what you can? I was telling him, Sunday school, I was talking to a fellow yesterday and probably didn't know two books of the Bible, not saved, and good man, hard worker, and everything like that. But we were talking about farming and things like that. He was talking about some rocks stocked up around a tree there. And he said, we like to get those fossilized rocks. And I said, you know, and the Spirit of God tapped on my shoulder and said, it's a good opportunity there. We knelt down there and we looked at those rocks. And I said, you know what? Those tell me the Bible's true. And I explained to him about fossil records and how the global flood and all of that. Might have been the first time he'd ever heard that. But I said, you know, those rocks tell me the Bible's true. I did what I could. I mean, I probably wasn't going to get the Bible open right there with him and get through the Romans road, but I planted a seed, planted a rock. I dropped a rock on his foot. Amen. She did what she could. What she could. Do what you can. He said, oh, preacher, if I start talking to somebody, they might ask me a question. I don't know. Give your testimony. Give them John 3:16. Hey, give them heaven. He said what she could. What she could. It speaks of purpose. Our worship. Worship means to fall down before or bow down before from the inside out in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 verse 23. She poured it on his head, poured it on his feet. She did what she could. It speaks of her purpose. Our purpose is to worship him. And notice the proportion. Man, it says in verse 3, it says the box of ointment, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. I'm not asking you to go home and break the piggy bank or anything. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart. God help us to have a purpose and a place to worship, of course, is here, but the proportion we see it. And notice the potential. It says in verse 5, Jesus said this, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, or the critics said, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. But God would take that and multiply it to help a lot of people. But she chose to give it to him. And God multiplied it in her heart. The passion in which she did. Notice it says she hath done. I often think of what Dr. Sexton says. He talked to Lee Robertson not long before he died. And he said, Dr. Robertson, if there's anything you could do different, what would you do? What would you have done? And he said this, Dr. Robertson, who pastored the largest church in the world, especially the largest Baptist church in the world, baptized thousands, hundreds of missionaries around the world, Camp Joy, all of that, Highland Park Baptist Church, Tennessee Temple Schools, trained many, many preachers, missionaries, godly people. He said, I would have done more by faith. I heard that and I thought, wow. I would have done more by faith. I think one day we can all look back at our lives and say, man, I could have done this. I should have done this. I would have done this if it hadn't been for this. You know what? What was then is now. I mean, listen, I remember not too many years ago standing over in the gym at 50 years old. I was 50 years old and I stood up in this church and I said, man, I'm 50 years old. I mean, it's a milestone in my life. 50 years old. Now that I'm 55, man, I look back at that and I just think. And here we are, 17 half years later. I thought about goals that I want to set and sincere things, things that I want to do. And some of those things I've done, some of the God's done through me, and some of those things I've not gotten to yet. But I'm saying this, life is a vapor. If you're going to serve God, serve God. Do it now. If you're going to get saved now. Life's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Jesus is coming. The time to sow is now. The time to go is now. The time to share the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel, it's now. Now's the time for God's people to serve Him. Do it now. You'll tell your family about God. Do it now. Don't wait until they're on their deathbed. Tell them now. The greatest thing you can leave your children is a testimony. Yes, your papa, your mama knew God. That's the greatest thing you can leave behind. She did what she could, the potential, and she did it with passion. And she broke it apart, poured it on Him. You say, that sounds messy. Yeah. But notice, not only she did what she could, but notice why she did what she did. Why did she do what she did? She did it because she wanted to prove her love and show her love to Him. A sweet savor to God. A sweet savor. I think of all the offerings that were given to God down through the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and the wilderness wanderings and the tabernacle and the temple and all of those offerings that were given to God and as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And I think of that high priest that would go once a year on the Day of Atonement and offer the blood upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. But I think about this, in Christ, all of that was done away with. All of that was fulfilled. That veil was ripped in two between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, that we might have access directly by one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And we can go boldly to the throne of grace today. We don't have to offer things for salvation. We don't have to offer things to cover our sin. Our sin is under the blood. If we're saved, we're saved forever. And we can not work toward heaven. We can work because we're going to heaven. She did it out of a heart of love. He said, you have the poor with you always. But he said, I'm only going to be here for a time. And this woman has anointed my body for the burying. I think about the women around the cross, the women around the resurrection. I like to preach a message on where were the stinking men. Amen. They all ran off and hid up in the upper room. It was Mary Magdalene who was standing there in the dark that met Jesus in the dark. Thought he was the gardener and said, Lord, if you've taken his body, tell me where it is. I'll take it and anoint it for the burying, wash his body. I mean, she had a spiritual perception and a passion. Mary, the mother of Jesus, standing at the foot of the cross. Jesus looked down at her and said, today, John, this is your mother from now on. Mom, this is your son from now on. Take care of her. Amen. Thank God for those godly women. I think of Mary and Martha. I think of that Shunammite woman that the Bible calls a great woman. Had great faith. God honored that faith. Some of you ladies today might be the only salt in your home. You might be the only light in your home. Man, you just keep living for God. You keep reading your Bible, keep praying. I always think of Dr. Keene, told that story about this lady had an unsaved husband, and she had prayed and prayed, did everything she could to try to win him to Christ. And finally, he said, well, go buy him a suit. Buy him a Sunday go-to-meeting suit. And she did. She bought him a suit and tie and a shirt and shoes and bought him a Bible and put his name on it. He said, what'd you buy all that for? She said, I bought it so when you get saved, you'll have something to wear to church and have a Bible to carry. Well, he did get saved. And he had a Bible to carry. And he had new shoes. And he had a suit. And I'm not saying you got to wear a suit to church. I'm just simply saying she did it by faith. I think of a man in heaven right now, multimillionaire. If he were sitting right here, you'd never know it. We used to witness to him and visit him often. And this is what he told me more than once. He said, I'll tell you what. He went from if I ever got saved until when one of these days when I do get saved, and then he did get saved, thank God. But he pointed his wife over there and he said, if there was ever a Christian, I'll call her name Kathy. Wasn't Kathy, but he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if I ever do get saved, it'll be because of that woman right there. He said, if there's ever a Christian ever walked the face of the earth, he said, it's Kathy right there. She had a good testimony. And one day around the judgment seat of Christ, it won't be a preacher that will get a star for winning him. It'll be a faithful wife who took those children to church and kept serving God and kept a sweet spirit, kept a smile, and kept doing and just kept serving. She did what she could. That's what God wants us to do. Do what you can. Do what you can. Why she did it? She loved him. And notice this, when she could. She did it when she could. In verse 7, he said, you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do to them good. But me, you have not always. And he said in verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. She did it when she could. The door of life is closing. The window of life is closing. It's an encouraging message, isn't it? Hey, this thing, I'm telling you, this thing's about to wrap up. It's about to wrap up. I mean, you go on the Jerusalem Post this morning. Don't do it right now. You go read the Jerusalem Post and you Google Temple Mount. You'll see all kinds of articles in there. Getting ready to build the third temple, defense minister visits the third Al-Aqsa Mosque, and everybody's all stirred up about it. He went up there and said, "We're gonna build a temple about right here." So, hey, it's about to wrap up. Russia and China. I'm probably going to preach my message for tonight, but I mean Russia and China. You see their allegiances. You see them putting their monies together to try to destroy the American dollar. You see Syria to the north of Israel, Hezbollah raining rockets down on Israel, Russian troops and Iranian troops in Syria. Russia and China aligning. You look to the east and the Jordanians. You look to the south and the Egyptians and Muslim Brotherhood. You look to the Iranians. They don't even recognize their right to exist. Neither do the Palestinians down on the Gaza. And Israel, that New Jersey size state of Israel, that nation, is surrounded by their enemies. But I'm telling you, God is in the midst of it. God is in the midst. We see these war drums being pounded. It's not about Washington, D.C., friend. It's all about Jerusalem. It's all about Israel. It's all about God's people. And sadly, the more I see it, I might as well just go ahead and preach the whole message tonight. The more I see it, and I'm hopeful. I'm a hopeful person. I'm a positive person, and I'm going to vote conservative. You know all that, but I'll tell you this: I think what we're seeing prophetically right now is America going off the scene. We're leaving the world stage. Our influence is waning. You say, "Ah, that Joe Biden." Yeah, I say the same thing. That leftist group, yeah. We're moving off the world scene. And that's why we don't see America mentioned in the book of Revelation and Daniel. You might be able to squeeze us in there somewhere around the political Babylon or how Babylon was destroyed in a day. There's going to be a day, you say nuclear war. I don't believe the world's going to be destroyed by a nuclear war. God will destroy the world. It's His world. And it could be that after the rapture, America will be so weakened and so many have gone out. And it could be a nuclear war will take out America. I don't know. After the rapture, during the tribulation period. But we see our influence waning. I used to think, how in the world is Germany ever going? How's Germany ever? Wow, how would we think Germany being aligned with Russia? You think about our European allies sometimes. I mean, you see the president of France over there last week palling around with our enemies and saying, well, now we're going to be neutral about all of this. But you see Germany getting their gas from the Russians through that pipeline. And I used to think, how in the world are they going to line up? It's going to be a matter of money. In Ezekiel 37 and 38 and 39, we see the armies of the north come. They come down from the north and they begin to march against Israel. And those in the south will push up from the south. We'll see that great fertile, that half moon crescent, that great landmass, the Iranians, who continue to build a nuclear bomb. Listen, we may not have the backbone to take care of that, but Israel will. They'll take care of it. All of this is in God's big crock pot. It's all in His timing. I woke up this morning, walked into the kitchen. Cindy had had a chuck roast going all night, all them spices in it. And I thought, man, I could eat right now. I mean, it was pretty much ready to eat this morning. I mean, if we'd had the taters and onions, carrots, I could have eaten this morning. Amen. We go back home today. You say, preacher, I'd like to go home today too. Hey, when we get back home today, it'll be ready. It'll be ready. Turn it off. Take it up out. It's been simmering. All in the timing. Listen, this thing's going to wrap up, and it could be today. It could be today. I mean, I think about how bad it is in the world, how bad it is in America, and it is bad. But I think we've crossed a line that we've never crossed before in America. We've crossed some lines now. I think America could get back to God. Whether we will or not, I don't know. You say, surely God's not done with America. I don't think God's done with America. But I think we see we're reaping what we've sown as a nation. Let's do what we can. I mean, let's do what we can. Let's connect the dots on our spring forward. Let's connect the dots through prayer. And my prayer is that as we pray for our loved ones and friends, as we pray that God's going to put feet upon our prayers and give us a burden to begin to talk to them and tell them about our mutual faith. Tell them about what Jesus did for us. Do what you can, when you can, with a letter, with an email, with a text, with a card, with a visit, with a word fitly spoken. Notice she did it when she could. When she could. Life is but a vapor. We have little time. They had little time then. They were days from Calvary's cross. Look in verse 2. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people during Passover. I don't know when all of this is going to wrap up, but it will. But God may reach over and turn off the cooker. He'll turn off the crock pot and say, it's time to blow the trumpet. Amen. She did what she could where she could. Not only what she could and why and when, but notice she did what she could where she could. She had a unique opportunity where she could. It was unique. I mean, you think about it. They were in the house, being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious. Very precious. You know what I've been trying to do? I had a good friend from high school, Kyle Totten, went to heaven this week. Saved. Read his obituary last night, 67. Class of 73. You know what I've been trying to do is when I meet people, think, I may not get to talk to them again. We'll talk to them now. We'll talk to them now. Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Say amen. Amen. Now's the time. You don't know when they're going to die. Talked to a man yesterday, rolled up, and he was out walking, going out to get his mail. Old man, older than me. Got to talking to him, and I'd visit him. Jeff Gibson, I visited him several times, and he's not saved. And he said, preacher, he said, man, he said, rolled the tractor. I rolled the tractor this spring already, rolled it over the hill. And I said his name, I said, are you saved? Are you saved? He said, no, I'm not. I thought of old Brooks Utt. Brooks Utt died on a tractor at 99 in a tractor accident years ago. Preached his funeral, but he left testimony that he knew the Lord. And I told him, I said, look, what if you'd have died right there? I mean, out of the car window, seize every opportunity. I don't always do that. You don't always do that. But may God help us to do what we can. Where we can. Where we can. Where we can. In His presence. She was in His presence. Blind Bartimaeus was waiting by the roadside, begging like he did every day. And he heard that Jesus was coming, and soon he heard Jesus coming. He did not know that it was the last time Jesus would pass through Jericho. It was one of the lowest places on earth. One of the lowest places on earth. And he got himself out there and got in position. And when Jesus came by and he sensed that he was close, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They tried to quiet him, said, shut up, you old blind fool. Jesus is paid. He said, yes, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. It was one of the lowest places on earth, Jericho, the city of palm trees. I'm glad that in the lowest place that you'll ever find yourself, you can cry out and find Jesus. You might be on, you say, preacher, I'm in the lowest, I'm at the lowest place on the earth I've ever been. You can find Jesus from there. You can find Jesus from there. He said, Jesus, hey, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he did. He did. From the lowest place he'd ever been. She did what she could. She did, we see why she did it. We see when she did it. And notice where she did it. In His presence. Why not today? Why not today? Why don't you go home and decide, I'm going to go see my dad. I'm going to go see my mother. I'm going to go see my brother. I'm going to go see my neighbor. They're waiting for you to tell them. They're waiting for you to tell them. Go ahead and spring forward. Do what you can, when you can. Do it where you can. Is Corey here this morning? Where's Corey? He's security. I'm going to have Corey share testimony tonight. You talk about a great example of this right here. He doesn't know he's going to, but I'm going to. But I'm going to have him share testimony tonight. I mean, you talk about opportunities. Divine appointments. Divine opportunities. What can you do? She did what she could. Peter got all the headlines. Preaching at Pentecost. People being healed, saved, baptized. But it was Mary that broke the alabaster box. Sat at Jesus' feet. May God help us.